This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. To talk to Brian, Jeff, or Vic, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Jaguars This Week is also sponsored by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and the Jacksonville Transportation Group. This is your exclusive home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. Wednesday night, June the 16th, live from Jacksonville Stadium. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggam, and Joe Fortunato in for the first segment. Vic Ketchman, who is headed to what I understand is a command performance at a Team Teal event. Now, you have not done one yet, have you?
No, this is my first.
Yeah, I think you'll be impressed. And plus, you're going to a place where I think you play golf on a regular basis.
Yeah, Southampton. My course, so to speak. And Bill Prescott will be there. Ernest Wilford will be there. I will be there. It's at the clubhouse at right. Southampton Golf Club,
which is off State Road 210 and 95.
Mm-hmm. And if it starts at 7 o'clock, it's a 7 to 9 event. I will stand up and talk and answer some questions at about 7:45, 8 o'clock. If you'd like to come over, I'd love to meet you and talk to you. Bill Prescott, the Jaguars CFO, will be there. Now Bill's a really interesting guy. Someone
very intelligent.
Yes, and with whom people are not familiar, but he never shies away from the questions and the answers. And he's a guy who I think has more answers than anybody in this building. I mean, he has answers to the economic questions about the potential for a lockout. Everyone's asking, you know, what's the potential for a lockout? Well, come on over and ask Bill Prescott. And he's a guy who will talk to you about it.
Yeah, he's going to the golf course, and I'm going. It's kind of funny how it works out. You're doing a Team Till event tonight. I'm going to do one tomorrow. You're at the golf course.
He's going to Whiskey
River. I'm going to Whiskey River.
What do they have there?
Whiskey?
Yeah, well, I'm too old for that stuff. Yeah. I got to go to the golf course.
He wouldn't be with us right now if it hadn't been raining.
That's
he would have been on the range.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was going to go down there like about 4 o'clock.
Hole 19.
And then it started to rain. I said, I'll stay here. And I wanted to talk, you know, about some things.
Okay.
The first of the preseason magazines.
Oh, do you have that clip handy?
Oh, no.
Just to refresh all of our listeners the day that Vic proclaimed the negativity.
You've been
return.
Waiting for first one to come out.
Bring it on, baby. This is Bill.
Whether you're right or not, it's not whether
Bill,
you're right.
Bill, it's what I said. It's not whether you're
whether
right.
Whether you're optimistic or not.
Well, yeah, Bill.
You're negative all the time, Vic.
Negative. Okay, Bill. See you, buddy.
I don't care whether you're right or not. You need to show a little darn respect and a little hope, man. You got to sell some tickets here.
Okay,
don't
Bill. Please, you're going to make me cry here. Your positivity is just so negative.
Buddy.
Kiss it, Vic.
Well, some people may have not heard that. You got to kind of tell people what happened.
Well, the setup was that Vic was saying that the preseason magazines would have the Jaguars fourth, but the context was...
In their division.
It was bringing the expectations for the playoffs back to earth.
So I was trying to sober everybody's
expectations
because we were getting into... Jack Del Rio was talking about just the goal is to win the division. Well, of course, he's the coach. And I think we were starting to run away with, you know, the coach's expectations. And I try to introduce a sobering thought that, hey, wait a minute, folks. Let's not forget that when these preseason magazines come out, just about all of them, the majority of them, will pick this team to finish last in the division. So, I mean, let's be a little more realistic. You know, we're not the coach of the team. Let's be a little more sobering with
but
our
you weren't portraying that as your opinion.
No, I was saying that.
And that you thought they would finish last.
Yes, I was saying that. When the magazines come out, the national perception of this team will
but
be
not
that
your,
it is
but
going
not
to
your
finish last
perception,
not
but
mine.
I think Bill took that as
no,
being.
I think there's a very strong chance now with the Titans having problems with Chris Johnson and Vince Young punching people in strip clubs and stuff like that. I think you got a chance now that they could, you know, that they might
move to number three.
Go to number four.
Okay.
But I just don't see any way that anybody is going to pick this team to be above three. I mean, that would be high water. So what I was attempting to do was sober everybody a little bit, you know, throw cold water in everyone's face. Hey, let's, you know, before we start this playoffs or else, you know, make the playoffs or the coach has to be fired. Let's calm down a little bit and understand that that is not going to be the national perception. Well, the first of those magazines is out, Athlon,
right?
Which is the contemporary version of the old Street and Smiths, right?
Yeah, drumroll.
Which is crazy. I mean, here, June.
You're such a sweat.
You know, we're really what middle of June.
That. Yeah.
You know
all those machines.
But you know what it is? It's a big race. First one to come out.
There's no question.
Everybody wants to have it. I gotta get it.
And then what are these magazines worth?
Nothing.
They're worthless. It's worthless. But it does give you an indication of the national perception.
The machine over there is worthless because we don't have a drum roll. So go ahead and tell us what Apple wants.
Fourth. I mean, that's, you know, I think the comment was that picking the Jaguars for anything higher than last in the division would be an alu-alu reach.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So they took a shot, too.
Ooh, that's a shot. Yeah, that is a shot.
So, Bill. You know the phone number.
Who?
I'm just curious if you
have the guts to call. I'm not going to say Vic one, Bill nothing. But
well, my question is this: is because you know there's not you know one or two national.
He did say kiss it, you know.
Yeah, no, I would say. You do big voice here.
I'm not going to
Vic
say that.
One.
There are not one or two national writers that write all of that about the team. Typically, there's a writer from that market or that covers that division that writes that opinion. Mm-hmm. Why did Vito take a shot? Was that Vito?
What took a shot at the Raiders?
With the Alu Alu reach thing.
What?
So he didn't write that?
No. Vito doesn't write for Athlon. Now, they'll have guys on staff.
I'm just kidding, Vito, by the way.
No, Vito's got his own thing.
Oh, yeah, but the guy the Raiders. Can you explain that?
Guy called him an idiot.
I saw that, yeah. If you read profootballtalk.com, you couldn't miss it.
What has happened to my profession?
But the media is attacking
that we throw this word idiot around as though it was commonplace, you know, language.
Well, for those who didn't know this, when John Henderson signed with the Raiders, the story was written by this, I want to say gentleman, but he threw idiot out there, this guy who's a sports writer in Oakland, and he said that the Jaguars were offered a fifth-round pick on draft day
by
the Raiders.
Totally false.
No.
And that basically the Jaguars capitulated, they wanted
a four.
They wanted a four, right.
Or nothing.
So what he was saying was the Jaguars screwed the pooch on this deal and ended up not getting anything when they could have had a five.
Okay, so Vito found out recently there was no offer of a draft pick to the Jaguars in exchange for John Henderson, and he wrote that on Twitter, all right? And he threw it out there that, this is a class.
Wait a minute, Vito Twitters?
He does. Vic on Twitter.
Vic has people on Twitter for him.
That's where I started to do that a little bit last year. I said, wait a minute. No,
I know because I got onto you because I went to your Twitter page.
This dog can't.
Hi, I'm Vic, and that was the only thing you ever got.
But anyhow, you have to remember that Vito was covering the Steelers along with me in the 70s when you had the Holy Wars.
So he doesn't
like
the Raiders.
No, it's not that. But I mean, he. And Al Davis had a nice little relationship there during the Holy Wars. And he just threw it out there that he speculated that the Raiders planted that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the way they are.
To take a little shot at the Jaguars, make themselves look good. All right? Because they got kind of stung on that Quentin Groves trade.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it.
Have they cut him yet?
They finally saw the bill of goods.
Have they cut him yet?
Anyhow, so this guy writes, this guy in Oakland writes that Vito's an idiot.
A sports writer from an Oakland
and
newspaper.
This writer goes on to explain how he screwed this up. I mean, the bottom line is the truth is a pure defense. He got it wrong.
Without a doubt.
He got it wrong. And then he explains how he got it wrong, that nobody would cooperate with him and tell him. So he guessed.
Oh, he guessed, but
basically,
he wrote it as
that's
what happened.
Got no information at all, and then he tried to squirm out of it. Vito is not an idiot.
And then he puts the term idiot out there, which all of a sudden makes him look like an imbecile.
Vito got it right.
Hmm.
He got it right. No draft pick was offered. Who's the idiot?
And we will leave it at that. Well, check out the Fan Zone section. Oh, now you pull it up. Just a little slow tonight. Jaguars.com. Sign up for the Jaguars Got Skills Rookie Day, sponsored by RPM Automotive and Sargento. Got Skills Rookie Day is Friday, and our friends at RPM Automotive will be conducting free AC Delco 40-point inspections on cars and trucks from 8 till 11 that morning during the event. Vic's on his way to Southampton.
7 o'clock, right, Vic? You'll be there? It's a 7 to 9 thing?
He's not on until 7:45. Why are you leaving so early?
I'll leave at 6:30.
Oh, okay. I will do another segment with Vic. Hit the drum roll. Vic, we'll be back. Bill, where are you? After this. Season ticket holders, for each person you refer who then purchases season tickets of their own, well, that'll enter you into the Super Bowl referral sweepstakes. You could win a trip to this year's Super Bowl in Dallas. 633-2000. If you'd like more information, Sexton, Loggeman, Ketchman, Fortunato. Ketchman's here to the bottom of the hour when we break for news. He makes a break for 95 South. He's headed to Southampton for the big My Team Teal event down there this evening. Open to the public. Bring your checkbook, folks. Tickets on sale and good ones available.
Yeah, come on over. I'd love to meet the listeners.
You know, you mentioned that Bill would be there to answer questions, and someone will obviously ask about the probability of a lockout.
Yeah.
So I ask you, as we sit here right now, what's the probability of a lockout?
I think it's the chances are better there won't be a lockout than the chances are that there will be a lockout. And I think the American Needle case hurt. I doubt if Bill was would share that opinion.
Sure.
In fact, I know he doesn't. Although he'll give you a wink. They hurt themselves on that one, in my opinion.
Well, obviously the reason that I bring this up right now, besides just letting everyone know where it is, in your opinion, is that, the Sioux side sat down this week, the union and whoever's
did that. I didn't know that.
They did, and they were talking about the enhanced season. They were talking about the probability of going to an 18-game schedule.
There is a very strong chance that these are either the last OTAs I will ever cover. Of course, it could be for a lot of reasons.
Are you telling us something we don't know?
No.
Yeah, the glass half empty.
But, I mean, this could be the end of the OTAs line. You know,
meaning those are negotiated out.
Players could negotiate them out or certainly negotiate them way back.
Well, you got to remember one thing, too, now. OTAs are voluntary. So even if, you kind of run status quo because of the labor negotiations, the players could say, we're not going to OTAs.
I think what we're going to get in the future, Jeff, is a May mini camp and a June second mini camp, maxi camp, and that's it. I don't think we're going to get the OTAs. I think we're going to get two camp weekends.
And what could become, you mean, the next deal?
Yeah.
I disagree.
What do you think?
I really believe that the OTAs certainly will be in there.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't think the players are opposed to it.
When they go to 18 games, regular season games, you think they'll keep these?
Yeah. I think most players have the opinion that OTAs are okay. Would they like to kind of limit them, maybe a number a little bit? Yeah, but I think they're okay with that. You know, because you got to remember, when they have OTAs, it's kind of a nice gig. I mean, from my perspective,
it
was.
Paid.
Well, you get paid. Okay,
incentive,
it's not a ton
incentive.
Of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you get extra because it's in your contract above and beyond what standard pay is for the OTAs. But you're working out with your guys. Mm-hmm. You're getting fed, pretty good food.
Mm-hmm.
It's an okay thing.
And, I'm not against the conditioning, and I'm not against the OTAs either. But I have a feeling that they're going to get cut back to a weekend in May and a weekend in June, and that's it.
But wouldn't the union want them because that offers younger players an opportunity, more of an opportunity to make the team? I mean, from a union perspective, that's more opportunity for guys to have jobs.
And why would that be a good thing for the union?
Because it means there are more players who have more opportunity.
Yeah, and see, the union's never really taken that stance that, more players have an opportunity is a better thing.
But that was what NFL Europe was all about.
Yeah, but that was really a league thing and not so much a union thing.
Except the union was a partner in that, weren't they?
Yeah, look, yeah.
But they were increasing their ranks.
Yeah. Not really.
All right.
To give it a semi-vague answer.
Semi-vague? No, that's really vague.
We'll see what happens. I'm going to stick with my story, and I'm sure Jeff will stick with his, see what happens.
I think the one thing that you can expect to see if they do go to an expanded season, which, you know, we're talking 18 games, and I think should happen, is that you have 53-man rosters with practice squad. Just expand the roster, for heaven's sake.
These are the most intense OTAs I've ever seen. All right.
Well, you've seen some teams lose their OTAs. The Raiders have lost some time. The Ravens have lost some time.
Somebody else lost a practice or two. I can't remember who that was.
Albert Haynesworth is threatening to blow the whistle on the Redskins.
These are the most intense OTAs I've ever seen. And from calling, from talking to guys with other who cover other teams, they're saying the same thing. This is not an isolated situation here. This seems to be a league-wide trend. It certainly was in Baltimore, wasn't it?
Well, it's football. It's hard to practice football without having some intensity and some physical part. I mean, that's the game. And it's always been that way. I mean, from the time they instituted OTAs to, which was what, back in 93 when they finally got a CBA up until now, that's always happened. That's just the way it is.
Yesterday was a training camp practice. It was so hot, Jeff.
Are you trying to blow the whistle?
The last two days.
You're blowing the whistle.
No, Jack cut him back. 15 minutes each. The last 2 days, the heat has been like a furnace.
The heat index has been over 100 both days.
Well over 100. Yeah. You know, what did the temperature hit yesterday? 102?
The heat index was 105 yesterday.
I think didn't the temperature hit 102?
I don't believe so.
No, I don't think so. I think it was 96, you know, 97, somewhere in that range. But either way, it's hot.
You know, with the way that the whole college thing went down, is ESPN still qualify as a reputable news source?
I'm so, and I could get you going on that. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm Vic Ketchman, not Joe Schad.
Okay,
I mean, that guy went through, he just embarrassed himself.
Because I didn't hear anything about Joe Schad.
Yeah.
But if Vic Ketchman worked for ESPN,
yeah,
Vic Ketchman would break more news stories than anybody.
I'd stand by him. I break him and stand by him, and if I screwed it up, I'll just the next story is Vic screwed up.
ESPN is the king of taking credit for breaking more stories. So what happened to Joe Schad?
Well, Schad got ahead of himself.
And he is a what?
He's a writer, college
football
correspondent.
He's their college football guru.
And the point was that you had a guy in Austin, Texas, saying that Texas is staying, which meant the Big 12 was going
to
remain.
He said it is imminent that the Texas and their kind – their friends, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, were going to the Pac-10. At 11 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, he's saying it's imminent, it's over, the Big 12 is history. An hour later, it's back. An hour later, they're gone. An hour later, they're back. All day long, back and forth, back and forth. That's not journalism.
No.
You write a story and you stick by it.
And I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but the reason I say it's one of the things that was reported on one of those ESPN blogs, and that's another problem, their site is a mixture of blogs and news and the whole nine yards, was that a discussion point in the NFL Players Association meetings this week was changing the injured reserve rule back to you're out for a certain period of time. You can come back by the
end
of the
season. Making it like baseball.
If you go to an 18-game schedule, that allows players to be able to come back and play.
Well, the first thing they need to do is expand the roster.
They lifted my story and put it in their rumor section.
Which story?
The one on Tyquan Underwood yesterday.
Nice. Yeah, that reaches a point.
Where's my check?
Really, they stole your story.
I guess you can do that on a website.
Well, who's you going to steal? Because you've got a website, too. Whose do you want?
I don't know.
Bouchette, right? He's good.
I bet you he's good.
Don't be stealing Vito stuff. You guys are friends.
How about the guy in Oakland?
What was he thinking? It's Vito got the story right. He got the story wrong. Why are you calling him an idiot?
And we'll leave it at that. You're heading down 95?
Yes, I am.
Drive safely.
See you, folks.
All right, news is next here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
Skip out of town on us. It's WOKV's Rick Jones. Get in on our Florida getaway contest now at WOKV.com. Tomorrow, a new destination, the elegant Boca Raton Resort. Be listening for your name and your chance to win tomorrow on Jacksonville's Morning News.
Hey, kids, got skills? Visit the Fan Zone section of Jags.com to download your registration form for the Jaguars' Got Skills Rookie Day. Friday, June 18th, that's this Friday, Sargento and the Jaguars are giving kids aged 6 to 14 a chance to learn football from the Jaguars' 2010 rookie class. During the skills challenges, there'll be autographed opportunities with the players, Jackson DeVille and the Roar, and afterwards, delicious snacks from Sargento and Bluebell Ice Cream, all brought to you by Sargento and the Jaguars. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along, minus Vic Ketchman, who is en route with Bill Prescott to Southampton for the big My Team Teal event. You'll be at Whiskey River tomorrow night.
I will. Whiskey River, it's going to start around 6 o'clock or shortly after, and there will be some players on hand to sign autographs, and I'm looking forward to that.
And just you? You running the show, or anyone going to be there with you?
No, I guess I'm running the show.
Okay.
And
which means it'll be a fun show.
And Bill Prescott just told me that he will be there as well.
Okay.
So maybe we'll get there a little early and we'll have a whiskey drink and then we'll talk about Team Teal and how important the Jaguars are to the community.
Sounds like a heck of an evening. Tomorrow night, Whiskey River, which is over in Tinseltown, correct?
No, it's Town Center.
Oh, Town Center, okay.
But it's not in the Town Center for those that, you know, here's the quick directions off of JTB, St. Gate Parkway.
Yes.
Bang a right on Town Center Parkway.
Okay.
And you know the right-hand turn that you take like you're going back to Mitchell's Fish Market and then one of our favorite places to get a steak? What is the name of that?
Oh, it's near the Best Buy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the way. It's not in the big complex, you know, with the fountains and the circle and all that, but it's on the way there. It's right off of Big Island Road or whatever it is.
Yeah, right there. Okay. So. All right, so tomorrow night, Whiskey River in the Town Center. Logs
six
will be
o'clock.
There. 6 o'clock. Not the 7 o'clock nonsense. 6 o'clock. He's a busy man, so be there on time. And if you're still in the area on Friday, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com and find out how you can sign up for the Got Skills Rookie Day for your child. Ages, six? Hold on, I got to pull the other script out. 6 to 14. So there'll be players there. The rookie class will be there. And the folks at RPM Automotive will be conducting free AC Delco 40-point inspections. That's free, 40-point inspection on cars and trucks from 8 till 11 during the event. So come on out. All right, we have a piece of news here.
Yeah.
Maybe you've seen this. I haven't looked at any of the websites yet. Maybe it's up. Maybe it's
breaking news. Let's go ahead and plug ourselves. You know, according to Brian Sexton of Jaguars Radio.
Holding a media advisory in my hand.
Yeah, but we're the first ones
absolutely
to talk
about
it.
Scoop.
We didn't tweet it or anything.
Scoop log and
only get it right here.
No, you didn't tweet?
I don't tweet.
Neither do I. Okay, so do you have the music?
No.
You don't have one of those like mid-70s action news. Kind of.
No, there you go. That'll work.
All right, here you go, Jeff. Are you reading this or mine?
Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars 2010 training camp schedule has been released. It begins on Thursday, July 29th, which is their report date.
Right.
Practices start on Friday, July 30th. In the schedule, there's 14 two-a-days. And generally, the schedule is, when they are here, practices start for the two-a-days at 10:45 a.m. and then at 7 p.m. But the practices will not be open to the public for as long as what they have been in the past.
Which that is the general public.
The general public. The way it's working is that their first practice is Friday, July 30th, and they have two-a-days every day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and then Thursday is the last day that are open to the public, and so that's another two-a-days. So you have 7 consecutive days of two-a-days.
So 14
all
practices.
Of them are open to the public.
14 of them.
And then they have on Friday morning, they have a practice, which I'm sure it won't be a whole lot.
Right.
But then that evening, they have a scrimmage in the stadium. The scrimmage is only open to season ticket holders.
And that's a change from previous
years.
That is
years. A change. And is there anything wrong with that? I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, reward the season ticket holders, and, you know, I think it's a good deal.
So there you go, folks. The season ticket holders will be invited into the scrimmage on Friday night, August the 6th at 7 o'clock in the evening.
And,
which I think is what they're doing here is they're creating value for the season ticket
absolutely.
Holder.
Absolutely. And that's, hey, the more value they can create, I think the more people will want to get it.
And then the Jaguars are headed on Sunday to Georgia, and they will practice twice Monday and twice Tuesday, August 9th and 10th. With the Falcons in Georgia. Then they'll come back and have a practice on Wednesday here and then head off to Philadelphia for the preseason game. And then they'll come back and they'll practice Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and close it to the media, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so the scrimmage.
Which I'm okay with that.
You want to close it like what? Like Monday, August 2nd?
It's when you first look at it, I mean, this is a pretty demanding schedule. Now, there's 14 two-a-days. They're not all true two-a-days. Some of the morning sessions are special teams only where a lot of the big guys don't come out for that practice. They're in the weight room, you know, building muscle. So it's not a full-blown two practices. This is not Camp Coughlin in 1995 where you had almost 18 or 19 two-a-days and every one of them was padded and it was full 10 practices.
10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, too.
Yes.
No evening practices.
No, you don't have that. So, but it is a – if you compared it to other teams in the National Football League, this is a pretty demanding schedule, and that's what you would expect to see with a team that is, might I say, full of youth. You know, and that's what you got to have. You know, you got to have more practices, get everybody ready to go.
So here you go. One more time. The news today is that the first week of practice is all that's open. 14 practices.
Which is a lot.
No, yeah, it's a lot. There's plenty of time to see the team. And let's be honest. Week two of training camp, people start thinking back to school. Mm-hmm. The numbers drop off dramatically. They're not going to, you know, you're not going to miss anything. If you get out there that first week, you'll see plenty. And then the scrimmage this year open to season ticket holders only. 355-NFL-1. If you'd like to join us on the program this evening, 355-6351. Vic wrote a story about it this week, and on Monday, I witnessed it firsthand. Tyquan Underwood sure does appear to be making strides, and for that receiver position where only Mike Walker and Mike Thomas appear to be, you know, I mean, Jarrett Dillard's still a young guy, too. But to see Tyquan Underwood making the kind of catches he was making, he made one at the back of the end zone where he had to fight to get his feet down, showed great poise and balance and body control.
Yeah, and you know, I think it was a couple weeks ago you were at a Team Till event.
Yeah.
And me and Vic were, and we talked about, I don't want to say the emergence of Tyquan Underwood, but certainly the development of Tyquan Underwood. I mean, he was a guy that last year when you watched him in practices, he kind of looked like he didn't belong. You know, and when you watched him, people said, well, what do you think of Tyquan Underwood? And my first reaction and comment would be, he's not ready. He needs time to develop.
Right.
When you watch him out there at practice now, and this is, you know, take it with the understanding,
no,
this is the underwear league. There are no pads on. And that he looks like he has developed more. It looks like that he may end up carving a role out for himself. And a lot of people say, well, how about Kasim Osgood?
Right.
You know, I read the interview that Vic had done with him, and he said, hey, never really got a chance. And I said at that point, hey, look, you know, it's hard for a player to go unnoticed for 8 years at a place in which you're such a very talented special teams player. He's having a hard time catching the ball.
He struggled on Monday.
And well, he struggled the whole OTAs. I mean, let's face it. He's a special teams player, and that's okay.
Right. He's a darn good one, too.
And he will have a role as far as blocking as a wide receiver, and then also maybe at times as a wide receiver in the red zone. But, you know, hey, if I'm going to throw the ball to somebody in the red zone, there's one requirement. They got to catch it. And he's having a hard time catching.
And when you look at him now, I mean, boy, does he look the part.
Oh, he
6'5",
physically impressive.
Shoulders.
You know, the most physically impressive wide receiver that I've ever watched in practice was Terrell Owens. Back in the days at Fox, and I covered a game in San Francisco, and I remember watching him in practice, and at that time you had Terrell Owens, and then you had the other big receiver from UCLA.
J.J. Stokes.
And both of them, when you looked at them physically, you're like, oh, my gosh, look at the size of these two guys. And when you watch J.J. Stokes, you're like, you know, he's just okay. But then when you watch Terrell Owens, the guy practiced like a maniac. I mean, practiced extremely hard and physically impressive. I mean, everybody can see that on TV. I mean, the guy's incredible. Osgood has that same type. You know, when you see him and you see him run and you see him move, you're like, wow, the physical talents that he has. But, you know, you got to catch the ball.
Yeah, he can't put it all together. At least he hasn't been able to in 8 years in San Diego or 6 years in San Diego, whatever the length he was there.
You know, and if you can't catch the ball, you know, that's the first requirement of playing wide receiver. You got to catch the ball.
355-NFL-1 is the phone number if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. 355-6351. You know, the thing about Underwood that stands out to me, it's not just him. The second-year guys, Rashad Jennings and Jarrett Dillard. I mean, all of those guys.
They're all improving.
Yeah, the difference between last year and this year, and clearly a year in the NFL helps, but the difference is pretty strong, pretty significant.
Yeah, and that's what this team needs. I mean, this team has, you know, 2 years now into the rebuilding phase, and you need players that are in their second year to not have sophomore slumps.
Right.
You need those guys to develop, you know, to get seasoned. And for the most part, watching them practice, they look like they're all getting better. Rashad Jennings, I thought, was a guy that we saw get better last year during the season. He looks like he's gotten even better this year, and he's got to be that number two guy. Of course, you know, with Deji Karim.
Well, that gives you another weapon, though.
You know, he's going to have to earn it, which is good. The more competition, the more you get guys to work hard. But they all look like they're progressing. And I had somebody ask me this week, you know, what my thoughts were on the team. And I said, look, this is the team that I think people need to get excited about. Not because I think that they're going to come out and compete for a title, but because I think this team is headed in the right direction. I think the personnel on this team is very talented and young. And it just needs a little time, and it needs more. You know, you need to constantly have that influx of talent. And year two now under Gene Smith, I would say without question that this team is headed in the best direction, personnel-wise, maybe that they have ever been.
Are you catching any of this over here? Joe is he's on the phone, and we're going to want a full report on this call because I don't think we're going to want to put this person on the air, Joe, based on the conversation that we hear. But it's 6:47, so let's take a break, and we'll return with one final segment, and Joe will fill us in on what appears to be a very interesting call. Joe is saying thank you to him right now in a very nice way. We're back after this. News Talk Radio, WOKV, depend on it. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Vic Ketchman's en route. You know, I keep the right headset off my ear because I don't want to be totally deaf when I'm old.
Yeah, I should have taken that advice
years
ago.
The other thing I do...
Actually, the better answer to that is, what?
Well, the other reason I do that is because I'm sitting and my right ear is close to Joe, so I can hear the conversation that he's having with people on the phone. And
or if he needs to get your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can at least communicate non-verbally.
And we do.
And you were communicating...
We have many signs that we use.
...very verbally with a caller, and it seemed to be a very interesting conversation. You were querying this particular person for a lot of different information.
Well, she was trying to get a hold of Mr. Waver and just wondering why he wasn't returning her calls.
That just seemed to be a really unusual call.
It was different, but she was a nice woman. Not sure how old she was. Well, she like a young woman.
Folks, I jumped the gun. I mean, I thought Joe was going to come on some wild story.
No, it's not a wild, juicy story.
And
it's
turns out that it's not. But it was interesting.
It's just one of those things.
It goes somewhere in the top five.
Could be.
All right.
Well, maybe three.
Not that you've thought of it or anything. So we're about 6 minutes left in the program if you'd like to join us here.
By the way, in case anybody was keeping score, Keith called a little earlier, said, yes, it did reach 102 yesterday.
Where?
Here. Like probably at the airport.
I was going to say, it didn't hit the beach. I know that for sure. 96. Because I looked it up. But I guess in this world, you can have
That's what Keith said.
Do we know Keith? Is he a reputable source?
He's called before.
What does that mean?
Makes him a reputable source. Oh,
yeah.
My book? No,
do you
I'm
work for ESPN?
Does.
Is that how that works now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, three more of the OTAs. Tomorrow there'll be one.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, Tuesday,
that's it.
And then the dead zone begins.
Yeah, but they're not done working out. They're still in town for a little while working out before they take their break. I mean, remember, they're not reporting until July 29th.
Right.
So the workouts will continue. Obviously, they're not mandatory. So some guys, I'm sure, will go to wherever they usually go.
What'd you do? When you hit that off-season, wherever, because you didn't do OTAs.
Well, like when I was in New York, we didn't have OTAs.
Right.
I mean, OTAs didn't start until Jimmy Johnson came around. And he kind of started that, you know, around 90, 91, and was basically doing whatever he wanted to because that was basically without a collective bargaining agreement. And so when I was in New York, we had a mandatory mini camp, and that was it. You know, so we all...
You were gone anyway.
Well, and, you know, the mini camps really became a party, you know, because all our, you know, all the guys on the team, you know, my buddy Jim Sweeney, the center.
And we saw him for those couple of days.
We saw him, you know, one time in the off season. Nobody stayed up there and worked out year-round. There was a few guys, but, I mean, a handful.
Right.
And then when I came here, obviously, the Jimmy Johnson way had basically...
infected the rest of the league.
Gotten around the entire league, and everybody else was doing that. And Tom Coughlin was going to try to exceed what Jimmy Johnson had done.
He wasn't going to be outworked.
And he did for a year. And then the union cracked back down and changed the rules, so Tom didn't...
How did they hear about it?
Well, Through me.
I remember you and he in the hallway on a conversation. That will go in my book someday.
Yeah, the way it was set up, when Jimmy Johnson started things, he got out of control. I mean, he was wanting to have 20-something practices, 30 practices, whatever, in the offseason. So when they got the collective bargaining agreement, they wrote a structure up and said, okay, you got 14 practices allowed in the offseason. They're only voluntary. You're allowed one mandatory minicamp. If you have a coaching staff change, then you're allowed an additional 2 voluntary minicamps. So with Tom Coughlin, the formation of a franchise, 14 OTA days, 3 minicamps.
Yep.
It's a lot of practices. Well, Tom didn't want to stop at having just those days, which amounted to basically, you know, you got 2 for minicamp, so 6. I mean, we're talking 21, 22 days of off-season practice, which I'm okay with that. It's not that big of a deal. Well, what he wanted to do, the last day that we had an OTA, minicamp, whatever you want to call it, at the conclusion of that meeting, he said, when you walk out, you can pick up your airline tickets to go to Stevens Point, Wisconsin. So as part of telling us this, he said that we are going to be in Stevens Point 3 weeks prior to the Hall of Fame game. Well, most report dates were 2 weeks prior to the first preseason game. Remember, Hall of Fame game makes 5
right.
preseason games. So we were going to be in training camp for basically 8 weeks on top of the 20-something days that we'd already had in the offseason.
He was beautiful.
And I said, well, you can't do that. And he said, why can't I? And I said, because they write in there that you have OTAs and then you have your report date. Well, they didn't really get specific about the report date. So they actually had to write a rule because of Tom that year and say that you cannot ask players to report prior to the mandatory report date of training camp, which is 14 days prior to the first preseason game, unless a player is injured. So they rewrote the rule book because of Tom in 95. Yeah.
Well, I know coaches worry about this period now. It's, you know, you keep them a couple extra weeks. I mean, it's only 2-3 weeks now where it used to be 5 or 6 weeks. But coaches, they have some sleepless nights there. They don't want what happened to Vince Young to happen to one of their guys.
Well, I mean, hey, look, you know, you can't – I don't think any coaches lose sleep over it. I mean, you can't. You know, and if you think you got a guy that's going to be that way, you don't pick him. You don't get him.
Now you don't.
No. No, and Gene Smith, I think, is doing that the right way. And that he's picking – I'm not saying he's picking choir boys.
Right.
But he's not, certainly not picking guys that are going to be a detriment to our community. He's picking guys that are honorable, respectable men. And he expects them to act that way. And he doesn't play.
But there is
people
that
say,
element.
What does that mean he doesn't play? Well, kind of – is that street slang?
Yeah, I think so.
He doesn't play. In other words, he doesn't put up with any junk.
Right.
You mess up, you'll probably get a stern warning. You mess up again, you're probably gone.
Well, I agree with you. Not being literal in terms of sleepless
and
nights.
He's flexed his muscles
already
this offseason.
But you do send guys, you know, you do send them home and the guy goes out with a bunch of buddies. And, I mean, it's one of those things. You just hope guys drive safely, that they use caution.
And good judgment.
There you go. Good judgment. What you worry about.
But you can't lock them down.
No.
I mean, hey, look.
Not saying that they should.
Trouble can find trouble no matter where they are.
Speaking from first-hand experience?
Yeah, I've known some guys that they could find it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put them out in the middle of the southwestern desert, and they're going to find trouble.
Right.
I mean, that's the way some guys are. And you solve that by not picking them.
Where are you going this summer? Anywhere?
Right here, man. We live in one of the greatest places in the world.
I tell you, if I were one of these players and I was going to get stuck in a couple of weeks of that heat and humidity, I would be in Saskatchewan. 3 weeks of cool weather.
They got bad bugs up there. Black flies, mosquitoes. That ain't all.
Yeah, but there's some nice
up there either.
Yeah, there's some nice places to stay up there, though. Anyway, Loggy, travel safe. See you next week. Joe, take care of yourself, buddy.